All right. Hello, everyone. Hello. My name is Jakub. I work at Cloudflare. Thanks for joining me on this talk about attaching metadata to packets. Here's our agenda for today. We're going to first start off with what's our motivation behind this project. And then I'm going to take you through what is not quite a saga yet, but a trilogy. The three attempts we had so far to get this upstream. First, a quick public announcement. We were looking for a lot of interns this year, so tell your friends, look up the blog post that tells you all the details about the program. Right, so what are we trying to do? First of all, how many of you know what an SKB or a socket buffer in the Linux network stack is? Okay, that's not bad. All right. So our goal is to allow users, Linux network stack users and their BPF programs, to be able to attach hundreds of bytes of metadata to their packets as they travel through the network stack to do different cool projects. Whereas today we're limited to just, you know, a few bytes. And this work is driven by a few very concrete use cases we have in our production. This first one being that on our receive path, we need to reclassify the packets at every stage. And the configuration propagation time for each of these stages is a little bit different. So there's some inconsistency, transient inconsistency, that's bringing us operational pains. So we would ideally would like to classify the packet only once early on, perhaps in our XDB program, tag it with a service identifier, and then all the later stages of the network stack would just look up the service identifier and say, oh, I need to run rules for service X, right? Our second use case comes from the fact that we have many data centers, and we do traffic engineering between them sometimes. So if one of the data centers is getting overloaded, we're going to take part of the traffic, encapsulate it, and forward it to another location to relieve the overloaded colo. The problem that stems from that is then when we log through which colo, through which data center request came through, we get them misattributed, right? And that messes up our capacity planning. We could easily solve that because we know from which data center the traffic was forwarded, we could extract their information, attach it to an incoming request, and then if it could travel together with a packet up to the application that actually processes the request, the application could read that information out and log it, and we'll be golden. Our next use case that we have in mind is making SREs lives easier. Cloudflare, in a great simplification, is a proxy that sits between users, which we call eyeballs. These will be your web browsers, your apps calling APIs, and we just forward the traffic to our customer servers, which we call origins. Well, sometimes we inadvertently drop packets, and it would be really helpful for us to know whose packets are we actually dropping. So in an ideal world, where our proxies, when they are forwarding messages, they could label them with a customer identifier, put them on the transmit path on the network stack, and then if the packet happens to get dropped, we could have a BPF program attached to the function that drops the packet that would just read out the customer identifier and, you know, count it, log it. And our last use case, probably most complex one, is keeping track of how the requests are traveling through the network stack within one host. So inside our machines, we'll actually usually have a chain of proxies, and, you know, packets might get decapsulated, read out to user space, handed over a Unix socket connection, handed over loopback across network namespaces. It's really hard to keep track how the request is traveling. If we could tag it with some kind of trace identifier that would survive this journey, then it would make debugging problems much easier. All right, so how do we get about it? How do we attach metadata to packets? Well, the first idea we had was called SKB traits. But before I can talk about SKB traits, we need to talk a little bit about the layout of the packet buffer. So when you have XDP programs attached to your NIC device, the driver will allocate a buffer for the packet data, but it will leave a bit of a headroom in front of the packet data for various stuff. It will be usually 256 bytes. Now this packet buffer, later on when we allocate the SKB, will actually become the SKB head buffer. But before it becomes that, XDP will put its stuff in front, and your XDP programs, BPF programs, might write some custom metadata in front of the packet data. The problem with that existing metadata feature is that you can't access it past the TCBPF hook. And in addition to that, it will get just trampled over, corrupted as you push headers onto your packet. So our first idea was, hey, let's fix that by introducing a brand new area for metadata. We called it traits. That would be accessible from all the stages of the network stack, and it would be near the front of the headroom, so it wouldn't be in the way of pushing new encapsulation headers. But the feedback we got from upstream was that we don't need a second metadata area, we already have one. It would be a maintenance burden. So fair enough, but of course sadness. So that didn't work out, and since we're told that we already have a metadata area, it only made sense to look into whether we can make it work for us. So how do we make XDP / AKSKB metadata work and not break any existing users? Well, to talk about that, first we need to learn a little how your BPF programs, TCBPF programs, access this metadata. They actually will do it by accessing through that data meta pointer, which is not a real pointer that exists in your SKB. It's actually just a pseudo pointer that we compute for the benefit of your BPF programs, and it's relative to the SKB data pointer, which points at the beginning of the packet payload. So what's the problem there? Well, as your SKB travels through the network stack layers and we move the SKB data pointer, your data meta pointer starts pointing at the wrong place, right? So to make this scheme work, we would need to keep copying bytes over every time we move SKB data pointer, which is not ideal. Solution? Well, let's just hide away the fact how we access the metadata by introducing an abstraction. And in this case, a useful abstraction that we applied was a BPF DIN pointer, which you can think of as a slice, which underneath has a pointer and a length. In our case, it was a pointer that was relative to SKB head, or actually relative to the MAC header. Relative to the MAC header? Well, that's simply because of the fact that Linux network stack already tracks the position of the metadata like that, so we didn't have to do anything. That got in. We made some progress. Then we had to fix some BPF helpers. I'm not going to talk about that, but we made some more progress. And then we encountered another issue. Well, if you have layer 2 tunnels in your network setup, guess what? They're going to change the MAC header offset as they decapsulate the packets. So now your slice to your metadata again points to the wrong place. So what's the solution there? Well, we can keep track of where the metadata is located separately from the MAC header. We need to store more offsets for that in SKB. And that is quite a neat idea because this allows us to relocate the metadata anywhere we want with the headroom. We could push it to the top of the headroom, which looks a lot of like threads, right? It's not ideal because, you know, the data meta pointer is not going away. It's part of BPF API and we still have to support it. So for some programs, we'll need to keep copying the metadata. But overall, we can make this work. So this is what we are proposed, that metadata could just live anywhere in the headroom. But the feedback we got, this feels like duct tape. This is a one-off solution. Please use SKB extension instead. All right, sadness again. I guess not XDP metadata, XDP SKB extension. So what is SKB extension? So adding new fields to your SKB socket buffer is a big no-no because of performance reasons. So smart kernel engineers put a pointer at the end that can point to an additional buffer where various features can store their stuff like MPTCP or crypto offloads. So we could just store our stuff in an SKB extension, but probably not the metadata directly. We don't want to embed it in SKB extension because this buffer for SKB extensions gets allocated as soon as any of the extensions gets activated, right? So if you're using MPTCP but you're not using metadata, then you would have just wasted an allocation for that memory, right? We could allocate space for metadata separately and I just point to it from an SKB extension. But this feels just like another metadata, which we already tried with traits, and it feels like we would be repeating the same mistake. So let's go for something more general. And here's where BPF local storage comes in. So BPF local storage is an established concept within BPF ecosystem and the Linux network stack, which allows BPF programs to attach arbitrary data to these common entities that we have, like C groups, tasks, inodes, sockets, and each of these objects has a pointer to BPF local storage named one way or the other that will actually point to a list, not a byte array, which will have a list of storage elements. And that's because you can have multiple users attaching their data to tasks, C groups, and you want to accommodate them all. And the way your BPF programs access the storage is through a BPF map abstraction, which identifies your storage and defines your storage geometry. So you can have like two users of storage and two corresponding maps, right? So let's have a pointer to BPF local storage in our SKB extension. And your programs then can access it from a new map type called SKB storage. And that's all neat. That meets our requirements. But to actually create such storage, you'll have three different allocations that you need to do. And because of that, we expect it won't work out of the box for all the use cases we have, especially those that involve tagging or labeling every packet that passes through the receive or transmit path. So expect like a long tail of optimizations before we can actually make this work for us. Nevertheless, I've tried it out. I've tried it out just this week, and a prototype seems to be working, passing some tests that implement some of these use cases I've talked about. So please watch out for the patches appearing on the NetDev and BPF mailing list soon. And we'll see, is this finally when we get rich packet metadata? I guess only time will tell. All right, I'm leaving you with links to everything I've referred to here. If you have any questions, feel free to shoot me an email. And once again, a reminder that we're looking for interns. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, there's one up there, then you have.
Thanks for your talk. Just a remark, keep an eye on the number of extensions because we from the CAN subsystem are about to add one soon as well. And I think there was a limit of 8 or something. I'm not sure how much is used, so.
So the nice thing and something that also needs improvement about extensions is that you can select which ones you include at build time, right?
Yeah, but
The configs are not very granular today. Like, say you're not interested in using the crypto offloads because you don't have NIC hardware that supports it, or you just don't use it.
Yeah, but you an all yes config should work, and it should not break because 9 bits do not fit in an U8. So.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, maybe it will come to that, but you know, you have to pick and choose with which extensions you build your kernel. Or maybe we just add more bits. I think there's still a hole in the extension like header, so before that precedes the chunks.
Just a heads up.
Thanks.
And, we were discussing if some extensions are mutually exclusive, just use the same bit for it.
Makes sense.
How about cache locality? If you're having to traverse these pointer lists, I guess it's pretty painful for caches.
Yeah, I would imagine so as well. I don't have any benchmarks as far as what overhead is. We just expect it to be painful, but we'll have some benchmarks for the RFC. But you know, we've tried doing it without allocations, reusing the free space in the packet buffer. We couldn't make it work, so.
Any other questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you.